I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. They would call it the dog days of summer. I know it's been kind of the dog days of the last 3 months, going to the end of spring and the way things have kind of gone down. But still, we're gearing up for football. And anytime you see the announcement the NFL starts pushing Hard Knocks, you know we're getting close, middle of June already. And of course, fantasy football is a very big deal. Joining us right now over the phone, once again, we have Joe Bartel. He's a fantasy expert with RotoWire, one of the top websites in the game, one of the top companies in the game when it comes to fantasy sports. Joe, it's a pleasure to get you back on the show today. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, I'm happy to be on. Happy to talk some more fantasy football. It's always great when we can have a little bit of sports in our lives, especially going on right now.
Yeah, you and I, we talked before the draft, we talked after the draft, so we have had some pretty in-depth conversations about rookies as far as fantasy football is concerned. But Joe, I'm going to throw this one out there for you right now. You obviously know your fantasy football inside and out. At RotoWire, it doesn't matter what sport we're talking about. You guys have the experts. And as we gear up for fantasy drafts, how does Joe Bartel sit and dissect busts in the game of fantasy football? How do you go about doing that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So I think that there's two ways of approach in the fantasy community. There's really the analytical people that dive into the numbers, and I'm talking like average depth of target per throw or routes run past 20 yards, like really finite diving into the numbers and trying to figure out what works. And then there's people that watch the tape and then transpose that with what they anticipate is going to happen next season. I do a little bit of both, and when I'm looking at busts in particular, I'm trying to plan ahead for what I think could occur. So everyone's projecting for the best-case scenario. What happens when that best-case scenario doesn't occur? Very rarely are we able to identify a player. Maybe Chris Godwin is a good example of what doesn't happen very often last year. Everybody in the fantasy community thought Chris Godwin was going to explode, and of course he did. But very few times does that really happen or occur. So let's give an example of last year. I was all in Lamar Jackson among many players, but Lamar Jackson was kind of my big idea. We were projecting the best-case scenario for Lamar Jackson. Very few were in the fantasy world. We knew he could do as a runner, but there was very few that were thinking what he could do as a passer as well. And then if all that works out, what's the fantasy total? I was saying best-case scenario where his value was going, and looking at the film, this is a guy that could be something special. Of course, he had the MVP season last year. That's not meant to be a brag, but it's how we're kind of working off the situation. So I do that for the risers. The opposite then applies for the bust opportunities. And oftentimes I try to project, not injuries, you never want to assume somebody's going to get hurt, but what could happen if there is an injury or where that would mean for their average draft position or ADP. And that's where I kind of dive into the bust more. So a lot of it's based off of watching the tape from last year, combining some of the statistics we've seen, and then going off of what other people have projected. Again, there is either the numbers guys or the tape guys, and there really isn't many of them in between in the fantasy community, and then basing off of that.
Okay, you just mentioned injuries, and it's something that you never can predict or you don't want to predict, although track records, sometimes they can do the math. However, we did have an injury come through earlier today, and this is definitely going to affect fantasy draft boards, no question. The 49ers are going to be without Debo Samuel for at least 3 to 4 months as he has suffered a broken foot. So when something like this comes down the pipe, not only does it affect Samuel, but this could affect the San Francisco 49er offensive players in general.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just a broken foot, but it's like that Jones fractured one. We saw Julio Jones suffer from that, I think it was 2 years ago, and basically rendered him obsolete for 8 or 9 weeks towards the end of the season. Debo Samuel is not the same type of player as Julio Jones. In fact, I think this hurts him a little bit more than maybe a traditional bigger player who can go up and get the catch. Like, Samuel's whole game is based off of being able to cut, being agile, being able to make moves after the catch and also getting open. And this is going to be a tough one. Now, it's different than even 5 or 10 years ago, and certainly NBA guys who have this type of injury are even more susceptible. It's not as dire or straits type of deal, but 3 or 4 months at minimum where he's not practicing in an environment right now where it's tough to do medical stuff. And I say medical stuff because I don't really know what the NFL does in comparison to real life, but you have to imagine it's going to be a little bit harder to rehab, a little bit harder, or make sure their precautions are followed very thoroughly when it comes to the surgery and everything else involved with the rehabilitation of that injury. So there's no guarantee. Like, if any there was time to say, hey, it's going to be longer than 3 or 4 months, it would be during a pandemic. And I think that's where I get a little bit concerned with preseason injuries right now, or offseason injuries, whatever term you want to use. That 49ers offense is going to struggle more. They lost Emmanuel Sanders already, and he was a midseason addition that helped, I think, at times, but really I thought his value was a bit over-exaggerated with how big of an emphasis they place on the run. But if there is George Kittle, and there is only George Kittle for the passing attack, that becomes a problem for me. And I have to really see what they can do with Brandon Ayuk, who they drafted in the first round with their last first-round pick, what he can do as a pass catcher. But it's tough. Like, Debo was the guy, other than George Kittle, and they have lost that guy for, you have to imagine, at least in the early portion of the season, they're going to have a harder division with the Cardinals now kind of improving. We still know what the Rams are going to be, but the Seahawks are always a capable opponent as well. And I just get concerned seeing an offense be so dominant last year, run-focused dominant, but very dominant, and then the NFL being able to adjust. We saw with the Rams the season before that, too, where everyone kind of caught on after the Super Bowl and how the Patriots were able to handle that. Not saying that a Shanahan-led rushing offense can ever be figured out, like we saw it even with the Broncos and his dad, where they get 1,000-yard rushers every single year. But the NFL seems to be able to adjust to that stuff, and that's where my concern is. So if George Kittle still makes complete sense as the focal point, and even might get higher with his value, especially if he's getting maybe 10 to 15 targets per game as opposed to maybe 8 to 10, with Samuel out. But after that, I'm not sure where you can really project going forward. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, gets hurt the most out of this, and maybe you could assume Ayuk can do some things, but I'm less uncertain about that.
Again, Joe Bartel right now of RotoWire, our guest, as we have some early summer fantasy football talk going down. Now, Joe, I asked you how you determine busts, how you guys go about that at RotoWire. Now let's talk about sleepers. Sleepers are always fun, right? Because if you were one of the owners that was lucky enough to snag Raheem Mostert last year, you probably put yourself in a pretty good position late. I mean, you go back and you look at some of the fantasy sleepers that we've seen over the past little while. I mean, Derrick Henry, I think you could probably consider him I don't know if you call him a sleeper, but definitely surprising as far as what he was able to do in 2019. You go back, you look at Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara in 2018, Davante Adams in 2017. There's a little luck that goes into fantasy football. So when you're trying to determine sleepers, what route do you go?
Yeah, and we talked about Lamar earlier. I think another example, even from past seasons or last year in particular, is Austin Eckler, right? With Melvin Gordon out missing 4 games due to his holdout. I think it was 3, but he really didn't play the 4th game at the Dolphins. You got to see him emerge as the guy. So when I'm looking at sleepers, opportunity is the biggest thing for me. However, if everybody else has identified that opportunity already, then it's not a sleeper. So I think we want to make sure we really clarify that. Again, everybody thought Chris Godwin was going to be a fantastic option fantasy-wise to the point where he's pushed up to the 4th or 5th round in most standard drafts. And this is a guy that hadn't really done anything in the NFL up until the point last season. Well, ended up working out. We saw the opportunity work with the Buccaneers office and Jameis Winston passing it. So who has opportunities this year to be able to do some things that are special? I think a guy like Tyler Boyd might be a bit of a sleeper. His ADP is not really pushed up that high, but with Joe Burrow being a more effective quarterback, we have to imagine the Bengals' defense is still going to struggle where they have to pass, and they have a lot of matchups where you at least project early in the season they're going to struggle. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for that Bengals offense to do things. Joe Mixon is a favorite for many people because the running back position overall is kind of, it's not as deep as it was in past seasons, but I think the passing game needs to be more of the focus as opposed to the rushing game. So Tyler Boyd is an option. John Ross, too, in that conversation, certainly is someone that could provide value for you, but it's based on where people are drafting him. And I would suggest either going on RotoWire itself, if we have an average draft position or ADP spot to compare across multiple leagues. So if you are drafting on ESPN earlier, Yahoo, when it comes to August, you can look and see where those ADPs are. And when I'm projecting and planning how I want my draft to unfold, I always look at the ADP of the certain site that I'm using ahead of time. Maybe I can find some value from that. So that's kind of where the sleep, I mean, everyone knows sleepers really more so than busts when it comes to draft season in late July and early August. Like, everyone's got their own guys that they really like. But to me, I'm able to base it off a little bit more the average draft position of the players themselves. And I have to make sure I look in the specific sites and kind of project and plan accordingly from where my draft spot is.
Yeah, and when you talk about receivers, and again, I agree with you on Tyler Boyd. One of the guys, I don't know if you can consider a 1,000-yard receiver ever a sleeper, but when you mention the idea of opportunity, really, when you look at Dallas, Michael Gallup has got to be a guy, and I don't know where you have his ADP right now, but considering that Randall Cobb is now gone, Jason Witten is now gone, those are two guys that combined for like close to 180 targets, if I'm not mistaken, last year, really models, and I guess just looking statistically, this should bode well for Michael Gallup this year.
Yeah, Michael Gallup is going around the 8th or 9th round, maybe the 7th round in NFFC, and that when I say the NFFC drafts, they're kind of the premier leagues. Because they're high stakes. So you could do those ESPN ADPs or Yahoo ADPs, and they sometimes get changed around because people will just do phony custom drafts or just trying a different strategy because there isn't any ramifications for doing it incorrectly, right? Like there's no skin in the game. The NFFC has a lot of money on the line for these competitions, so we generally in the industry tend to base it around those type of things. So the NFFC, he's going around the 7th, 8th, 9th round. That, to me, is a little bit high for a couple of different reasons. The first one, and we talked about this, I think, the last broadcast or so, CeeDee Lamb going to the Cowboys makes me very, very anxious. You look at the targets that are available. You talk about Cobb leaving. You talk about Jason Witten leaving. Witten wasn't doing a lot as a pass catcher. He was more of a blocker and also just a guy that was there 3 to 4 yards down the field. But even if Witten is getting 80-90 targets in a season, you have to look at where those targets are happening. Again, 3 to 4 yards out is great. Dak Prescott can look his way all the time. Fantastic. But you can't imagine that Michael Gallup is going to assume those targets because he isn't running 3 to 4 yard routes. That probably benefits more CeeDee Lamb. And the same goes for Randall Cobb, too. I think Ezekiel Elliott gets hurt the most by the addition of CeeDee Lamb. But after that, it's probably Gallup, especially because the Cowboys already invested in Amari Cooper this past offseason, and Gallup's contract is running out, too. Now, they might try to feed Michael Gallup the ball a little bit more so he gets a higher potential signing from somebody else, or they could flip him if, for whatever the reason, the NFC East becomes out of reach or unattainable to them by week 8 of the trade deadline or whatever else. But I just have a hard time believing that. And the Mike McCarthy offense, too, tends to feature those guys who can do a lot after the catch. And I think CeeDee Lamb, again, is a perfect example. Not where Lamb is a guy that's going to go ahead and target, but I do think it makes me concerned about what Michael Gallup could do, and maybe to some extent Amari Cooper as well, because there's so many mouths to feed in that offense.
Joe, as far as quarterbacks are concerned, and maybe this isn't the right model, I don't know, but I always wait on quarterbacks when it comes to fantasy. Dynasty leagues, obviously, a little bit different, but when you really break it down and you look at a 12-team league, I've never been able to really find value in drafting a mid-tier quarterback, someone that's going to be around 8, 9, or 10, when you can grab value at a receiver or tight end or a running back position, because to me, there's never been that great of a drop-off from, say, Matt Ryan to, I don't know, Jared Goff or a Ben Roethlisberger if he's healthy. I'm curious how you would recommend approaching the quarterback spot, and who are some of those guys that you like around that 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th quarterback spot?
Yeah, it's different each year, but I'll give you an example. Lamar Jackson was the 12th overall quarterback selected in most NFFC drafts last season. He obviously was fantastic and somebody I targeted frequently. Patrick Mahomes, the year before that, was also the 10th to 12th quarterback selected and somebody I also targeted a lot, too. This year, it's a little bit different, though. You look at the guys that are going around that 9th, 10th, 11th quarterback range, and we're talking about Josh Allen, Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz, a lot of younger guys who can give you a little bit from with their legs, but also throw on the ball, too, but some major question marks. And I don't know if I have those same question marks with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes in the year past. Maybe I was biased and I just fell in love with the prospect profile for both those guys, which is true. I mean, it's hard not to like either one of those given how great they can be at the quarterback position. But I just feel like there's some serious limitations with relying on a Josh Allen or a Daniel Jones just based on the turnovers alone. Now, I will say, if your league is a 6 points per passing touchdown league, most are not. ESPN, Yahoo, your standard ones, are just 4 points per passing touchdown. However, in the higher stakes leagues, or if leagues want to put more emphasis on the quarterback position, you generally bump it up by 2 points per touchdown. If that's the case, guys like Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, who are going right now in the second or third round in most standard leagues make complete sense to me. I agree with you. I don't normally invest highly in the quarterback position because I can find value late. But if you are in a 6 points per passing or per passing touchdown league, I like going for that value because you're getting guaranteed value at really a fraction of the cost compared to the other positions out there. Now, to your other question, though, value is the quarterback spot. I think the quarterback is always deep. It feels like in 12-team leagues, you could easily get a starting quarterback as long as you want to wait for it. In our RotoWire mock draft, which we do one for standard league and one for PPR league. I participated in the standard one, and I waited till my very last selection in I think it was a 14-round thing with 12 different people to take Ben Roethlisberger, who I thought makes a lot of sense. There's some concerns about his throwing elbow, and it's not like Roethlisberger's ever been a guy that's ever in shape throughout his career, and I don't want to knock him, but you never hear stories about, man, Roethlisberger's in the best shape of his life. It's just not his thing. But I do think that Steelers offense, all you need is a capable quarterback. They got a lot of different pass catchers that can do some things. I'm interested in their running back field, even if James Conner gets kind of spaced out with an Anthony McFarland or even a Jalen Samuels of some sort. I just think that team's going to work, and the defense is going to do a lot to stop their opponents and give more opportunities. So Roethlisberger, I think right now, is getting selected like quarterback 16 to 22 range. There's really a lot of differential when you talk about these later quarterbacks. I think he's fantastic, but even like a Matthew Stafford, too. The Lions are probably going to have to pass to be competitive again this year. They still have a lot of weapons, and Stafford's been so consistent throughout most of his career. He's going in that 17, 18, 19 range, too, for quarterbacks, and I think he can easily be a quarterback one in a 12-team league for a lot of different people for a lot of different weeks. So this goes back to saying, wait on the quarterback position if you are in a 4 points per passing touchdown league. But if you are in 6 points per passing touchdown, which happens a lot, and I've seen probably the biggest rise, everyone does PPR leagues now, that happens all the time, but the quarterbacks and getting their touchdowns bumped up more is something I see all across the fantasy industry. Do go after the Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or, dare I say, Dak Prescott, too, because I think they're going to have a lot more value in those types of formats.
He is Joe Bartel. He is a fantasy football expert for RotoWire. And Joe, I know the RotoWire magazine will be out in just a couple of weeks. Before I let you go, I'll let you go ahead and let the listeners know all the important details, where they can find you and some of the future projects.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. I wear a lot of different hats at RotoWire, so especially with all the sports kind of just gearing back into shape now, there's been a lot of emphasis on esports in particular for DFS. So I do write a lot of different Call of Duty articles, League of Legends articles on the site as well, referencing to DFS, and it's been kind of my passion project over the last month or so. So I would definitely, if you are interested in getting to more esports-related DFS, definitely give me a follow on Twitter. However, RotoWire itself, we are definitely gearing up for the NFL season. We have our NFL magazine out to print, so it should be available to subscribers within the next month or so. You can get a free RotoWire subscription by going to RotoWire.com/win, RotoWire.com/win, and sign up for a free subscription. If you feel like our content on the site works out well for you and kind of fits what you're looking for, whether it be for baseball, basketball, which is starting up soon, football, or any other sports, you can then extend a subscription as well. But that is a possibility for you to be able to get one of those NFL magazines, which, again, should be available to subscribers of the site in the next, I think the next month or so is probably a realistic possibility. And it's always one of my favorite things of the year is to be a part of that magazine. We have a lot of guys from ESPN, Yahoo, every place that you could imagine. We have them participating in the draft, writing articles themselves. And there's a lot of different projections and helpful tips and tricks if you are getting into fantasy football or want to be competitive in DFS or larger markets. There's something for everybody in that magazine, and it's why it's one of my favorite publications every year.
Joe Bartel, always a pleasure to get you on the show. I definitely appreciate the time. Thank you again.
Yeah, I'm glad we could talk some fantasy football. Thanks for having me on.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Fun to get a fantasy football conversation going. Kind of breaks up the monotony of the regular chit-chat that we've had over the last 2 weeks. Will or won't we have a season here or there? It's fun to talk some fantasy football. Always great to have Joe Bartel on the show. We will be back to do it again tomorrow. Don't forget, you can also listen to Drive Time Sports on demand at CastleCountryRadio.com. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll catch you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.